A week ago when school started, I came across a tweet that really touched me. And it was from a father who said, if you're starting your first day at school today, I hope you have an amazing day. I don't know what school you're at. I don't know how you're developing, but I love you very much. Next week, I'm back to Pretoria to try fight to see you and raise you again. And he just signs out with, and I love you. And he attached images of his young son and another picture of his son on his own, a little bit older. And in the subsequent tweets, he kind of details that he doesn't get to see his son. And it got really got us thinking about that separation. When we're going through a divorce, so many people's parental rights, and often fathers, can be compromised. I can't imagine how painful and difficult it is for either a mother or a father to not be able to see their child. And there's also the pain that a child carries for not getting to develop a relationship with one of their parents. It can scar them for life. And then you think of the unresolved, unanswered questions that maybe a mother will carry for the rest of her life if she didn't allow the child to have a relationship with the father. And so today we're looking at what fathers who are not allowed access to their children by the mother go through, especially in relation to institutions like schools and the justice system. And every year, millions of children around the globe face family disruption. And my guest, I think, would know exactly how big this disruption is in a child's life. And so we're joined by family and divorce mediator Lee Wade. She is the founder and director of Dads Indeed. It's an organization that fights for parental rights of fathers. Lee, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
You know,
thank
you for coming on the show. A lot of compassion that was shown for that father after he posted the fact that he just has all these questions. He lives with these questions about his son. What we always hear year after year is that divorce is on the increase, whether in South Africa or elsewhere, and then let alone separations. So overall, families are being impacted by separation. Give me a sense of the picture.
I can give you a sense of the picture in so much as I have peer-to-peer and meetings with my dads. And last Monday evening, we had a meeting. Mm. I had 25, maybe 30 people per turn up. And one of the most painful moments they shared is how they did not view their child's first day at school, how they actually feel parentally paralyzed through this. They're trying so hard to reach a parenting potential, and they feel that every time they try harder to be active in their children's lives, they are shut down and closed down. Mm-hmm. What was nice is they found a lot of positivity in each other, and they were trying to find solutions to
right.
this.
Yes, and men, when it comes to dealing with these emotions, there aren't many platforms or avenues where they can go.
No, they're not. That is the one thing that's highlighted to me over and over again. Men tend to feel that they're grieving on their own, and they don't have time to actually realize what's happening in their lives because they're hit with litigation or the absence of the child. They're trying to still be productive while they're in their workspaces. So I create a safe platform for them to find support within each other, and I also offer them a lot of support. Mm-hmm. I must say, it's not just for men, it's for all parents.
Right. I think that's also important to emphasize. But would you say that there is a higher proportion of men during a separation, during the divorce proceedings, whose access to their children gets compromised? And it's not to say that after an agreement has been formalized that this access or rights will be restored.
That's a difficult question for me to answer because I didn't bring any statistics with
okay.
me. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Every situation is unique and every situation has its own merit. So I don't think we put a blanket approach across everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think fathers feel that they are more alienated because they feel that the mothers, and there is a gender bias towards mothers, and I think that's what they struggle for. A lot of them say to me that by default, they would like 50-50. They would like to be present in their children's lives. They would like to be at the first school play, at the first school day.
Yeah.
But they're not sure where to turn, and they're not sure where to gain the correct amount of information.
Is this largely due to perceptions in society? about separated or about fathers and who the favors. You said there is a gender bias towards women.
They do feel that there is a big gender bias towards women. Mm. The one thing that is very important, they all discuss that, that they have respect for the mothers of their children, but they don't know how to reintegrate. They're mm-hmm. not sure how to follow those steps of co-parenting. They're suddenly left in a washing machine cycle, as they call it, and they're unsure where to find the stop button and where to stop, get off, and start parenting again.
Mm, where do things go wrong? Because a separation can, there's so many raw emotions. There's a lot of blame. There's a lot of, just blaming that happens.
I think it becomes incredibly emotional between the adults.
Yes.
And we tend to lose sight that we actually need to be child-centric mm-hmm. through this. Mm-hmm. So where does it all come from? I think some of it's internal. There's a lot of guilt that's carried by the fathers. They also feel that while they're going through litigation and court processes or investigations, they're spending their children's school fees. But then they also look at themselves and they think, what have I done wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have one father actually said to me this morning, I've never had the space to actually grieve for losing my family. It has just been a constant treadmill. So I've never stopped. I think the one piece of advice that's incredibly important to all parents is start with self-care. So you are the best person possible for your child while they continue developing through life.
Hmm. Please put your headphones on. We've got Claudie calling from Vanderbijl Park on this conversation. Good afternoon, Claudie. I see it says that you are a single father.
Good afternoon. Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. And I have always felt my case is worth sharing with other people because of the dynamics.
Yeah.
I had a court order that said I must have access to my kids. In a specific way, like normally bi-weekly and alternating long and short holidays, etc.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And all that where I could not see it happening because my ex-wife simply made it impossible. And the sad part of my story is that my ex-wife is a child's rights practitioner, a qualified social worker with more other degrees beyond social work. Mm. And that made it difficult for me. And the practical hardness I had was the relationship she had with court officials in the town where the kids are. So the magistrate's court could not provide services I was expecting to get. I had to elevate my case to the high court to obtain justice. It is that's how difficult it can sometimes be. Fortunately for me, I'm an enlightened parent, and I knew precisely what to do. And even court papers and things I did myself, I did not have to go to a lawyer to get them done.
Wow.
But that's how difficult it can be. It means if I did not have the kind of insight I have, I probably would have gone into thousands and thousands of friends
mm-hmm.
to obtain what the court has already written down as the way things must be.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not even follow up the thing of this aspect of contempt of court on her part, because I felt it was not an issue I was focused on. I simply wanted to have access to my kids. I wanted to have a relationship with them and not simply pay maintenance and say, as long as I've paid. I never quite wanted to subscribe to that thinking. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Claudie. But have your parental rights fully been restored? Do you have access based on that agreement about when you can see your children?
Yes. All I wanted from court was to get her to realize that what's written in the court order is mm-hmm. binding on both of us.
Yes,
And the fact that she had denied me access for close to 200 days, because each time a weekend passes, there are four mm-hmm. violations because there were two kids.
Yeah, sure.
A Saturday, a Sunday for each kid.
Yeah.
Every weekend is four violations. Every school mm-hmm. holidays is upward of 40 days.
Mm.
You know, that sort of thing. That's how difficult it was for me. But I really was not interested in getting her in prison, getting her to be...
You just wanted your rights enforced.
Because I understand the circumstances in which we separated, and she was not the target for me. All I wanted was she should not tamper with my rights.
Yes. Well, Claudie, yes. Thank you for sharing your stories. You said it gives hope to other people, and you wanted to share that. Court orders not being enforced, and even say from a divorce decree, the rights that have been agreed upon, what should fathers do, and how common is this?
I hear it a lot. Unfortunately, I do not want to give any legal advice because that's not my space.
Yeah.
What I do say is I think people should concentrate on mediation and concentrate on positive communication.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very important.
Mm.
It, before it gets to that point, if we can communicate respectively to each other and try the avenue of mediation, try sit down and have a round table. As one of my clients even said to me, go to the local cafe, sit down, have a coffee, discuss it.
Yeah.
Be the parents you need to be. Try not to take it to that extreme.
So how do, if people are coming from these really polarized extremes, how do you bring them to a middle point where they can at least have more compassion, more empathy for each other's circumstances and situations, and be able to then co-parent, to get on this journey of co-parenting?
I think the first and most important point is to sit down as a family, and also listen to what the child has to say. Give the child a voice. Give your children a voice. What do they want?
Mm-hmm.
Again, to be child-centric, because it tends to be adult upon adult, parent against parent, having this argument. And we tend to lose sight of the most important part of this, which is our children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's about positive communication.
Right. Next, we have Mark calling from Hartbeespoort. Hi, Mark.
Hello, Sonia. How are you?
Good. Welcome, Mark.
All right, welcome. Thank you very much for taking my call. I've got a story as well. It's been playing out since 2013 now, where, yes, we tried mediation, we tried roundtable meetings and so on and so forth, which never materialized because the other party was so vexatious in their approach that basically we lost sight of what's going on, and your anger and your frustrations with dealing with these kind of situations is so terrible. I've never had exposure to any court cases at all, but I've been sued 17 times and I got arrested and I got thrown in jail, and the authorities were listening to the mother's side all the time, and I'm lucky I'm cleared of all these things, and eventually I got the custody of the kids. But it was a horror story of note, and it was insane that the authorities were actually allowing this kind of stuff, because the allegations that were made were so ridiculous that it wasn't even worthwhile.
So you're saying you got custody? It wasn't 50-50, as Lee was saying.
Yes, I got custody, but it was purely by mistake, by default, by sheer luck, actually,
okay.
And hard work, of course, as well,
mm-hmm.
and obviously being honest in the situation. But, you know, the trauma that it does to the kids is just insane. It's really crazy, and it's so bad for parents to carry on fighting like this.
I can hear that with hindsight, as your description was that you lost sight of what was important.
You do. You
in the course of the process, all of this conflict.
Because now Lee also is providing help to people out there, but specifically for males, I think there is not much out there where they can rely on specifically towards your own well-being, you know.
Right.
Because healthy parent equals healthy child as well.
Mm.
So thankfully I had the support around me that I could push it through. But ultimately, you know, the children do need both parents, and they do need to, you know, without all this nonsense, the amount of money that's wasted as well.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, the court system and I would even say the prejudice towards men has been a very difficult battle, because we're almost fighting a double battle here.
Thank you for your call, Mark. We'll hear the thoughts of others and their reaction to your call. Any comment on that, Lee? As he was saying, from a personal perspective, it is easy to get into this brawl, this wrangle with the other person, and kind of forget that the end game here is to have a place and to have a role in your child's life.
I think the most important thing is to make sure that you have accessible support, to make sure that you keep remembering that you have a parenting intelligence, that you have a responsibility to your children. But it is also parents' responsibility to be respectful to each other during separation and divorce.
Isn't that the first thing that goes, though?
Absolutely.
We have Bahle as well calling from Pretoria. Hi, Bahle.
Hi, Azania. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm so sad hearing this. I'm actually experiencing a similar thing, you know, and I think it's so sad to not understand how much abuse the mothers can put us through. You know, I've gone as far as a court system twice. I've even gotten her arrested at one point, you know, and just before they prosecuted her, we're sitting there for being in contempt, because I drove one day from Pretoria to Joburg. When I arrived there, she says, you know, it's late. Go back home. And it was one of the most traumatizing things, you know. And when you're sitting in court and you just decide, you know, if I I go through with this and I harm the mother of my child, essentially I'm harming my own child. You know, you drop this thing, you go back, and it's back and forth. It's so horrible that I'd actually like to tell you that this year, you know, I've given up on the justice system. So if I want to see him, I literally drive to his school and I go and I see him.
Are you allowed access?
Look, I'm allowed access to the school because, again, I've never dropped my side of the ball. I pay fees in full. I do everything. So, unfortunately, now it's gotten to a point where we can't even communicate without it going out of hand.
Have you tried mediation before, Bahle?
I've tried mediation. I've tried the courts.
Oh, why did it break down? Why did mediation break down?
The mother of my child can decide at any point, if she's not happy, to backtrack. You know, I've noticed it.
Yeah.
And I feel that men essentially just always fall wayside. And because we don't say anything, you know, we don't find it easy to go and cry to somebody and say, look, this is what I feel. We always backtrack. I always would rather say, okay, let me just use the situation. It'll fall out. And it hasn't. It's been 5 years. My son is 9 now.
It's wow.
A complete...
Wow.
Look, I'm on the highway now and I feel like crying.
Yeah.
It's absolutely horrifying.
Ish, what do you say?
Go through these, I feel the mother might... You know, just to prove a point, some children might not have their fathers. Mothers might just want to prove a point. It's a horrible thing.
It's a horrible thing, but I also think for society, it's a hard thing to accept. And it's something that we do push to the side because for so long, mothers have been hard done by. We have a strong narrative of absent fathers who neglect their children. And so when they are a component of men who want to play an active role in their lives, they get shut down that there is no place for your voice in this entire discussion, because your kind is known for A, B, C, and D, for neglect, for lack of support, for just being completely absent and abandonment of the family unit. So I can understand the struggle that men, when they say that their voices, men like you, Bahle, when they say their voices simply don't have a space.
Sure. But then, you know, you just took the words out of my mouth. You know, it's a terrible thing. Because even in society, if you sit and you say, but this is how I feel, some men would probably say, oh, just leave it, man. Your child will grow up and, you know, and you are devastated to hear such words. I am dumb. Every time I hear that, I'm dumbfounded. But people say, just leave it, man. It's not a problem. This is, we're not seeing this. Why are you so hard done by this? Why didn't you just let it go like the rest of us? I can't.
Yeah,
you know, I don't understand. I know that most men, I mean, some men have done it in the past, and now we have to pay for that. But yo, it's horrifying, Azania. You know, I don't know.
It's painful. I can't
how
imagine.
I feel.
Yeah, can't imagine. Thank you for your call, Bahle.
Thank you so much, Azania.
Thank you. What do you want to say, Lee? Because he mentioned schools. Are there also institutions that kind of perpetuate the denial of access or a role for fathers to play? Because schooling involves both parents.
Both parents. Mm. I think it's time for fathers to set a positive precedence. The negative connotations that you hear on social media and all the stories, why don't we turn it round? Let's start sharing the positive stories and sharing solutions, sharing ideas. I hear so much negativity all the time. I'd like to see us start thinking about the children and how we can find a solution moving forward.
Yeah.
There's a lot of negativity today about the court system. The court system has a role. Everything has a role in life. But we also need to take responsibility upon ourselves in what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Seek support. Seek positive support. If somebody gives you a negative story about just leave your child and that's not what you want to do, walk away. Find a positive group to work with.
Yes.
Positive parenting.
Precisely. Like, find voices like our earlier caller who will say, I did it, you can do it.
Absolutely.
This is how long it took, you can do it. Just brace yourself. This is what you should expect from the experience and just buckle up and get ready.
Absolutely. And be the best parent you can for your child.
Let's go to Rohini. Rohini, good afternoon.
Hi. Hi, Azania.
Yes. Welcome, Rohini.
So I have a story that is breaks my heart. I come from a divorced family, so I know what it's like in terms of going back and forth between the parents. But I am now seeing a gentleman who is one of the kindest, most generous fathers you would ever meet. I cannot explain to you. He put our relationship on hold for 6 years because he didn't want to disturb his son's routine, you know, because they were divorced for about 10 years already.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been paying his child support, schooling, literally 100%. The mother has been extremely vindictive, selfish, and it's just been difficult to even go to mediation with her. The problem that I have is that it's not about not thinking positively. It's the entire system that's biased towards females. And I am a female, and I would never use my child against his father because I know what he's like. But in the Benoni Magistrates Court, her sister is an attorney.
Mm.
So they favor her sister. There's trading of favors. And, you know, it's just so difficult because you can't get past that because in the Magistrates Court, you know, you do me a favor, I do you a favor. And here we outsiders trying to get some level of justice
mm-hmm.
for my boyfriend to try and move on with his life. It's been more than 10 years and she's just, you know, she even managed to get a false arrest warrant mm-hmm. for him. Mm-hmm. And he almost got arrested for no reason. You know, she's even had the court officials harass me. You know,
it just gets ugly, Rohini. Thank you for sharing
it's
that.
So ugly.
Yeah. And as you said, like, this is what you've observed. And that's what also turns a lot of people away from the process when what is said, what your lawyer will advise and so on. I also have quite a few cases or stories that I know firsthand from people that I know really well where they have struggled. Mediation breaks down. They try and come back to the mediation table. They do go through the normal court process in trying to get a divorce and hoping that it will get concluded. And as soon as that gets concluded, hopefully your rights will kick in because now it's in a court document, you know, in the divorce decree. But it just ends up being a very, very long and painful battle. And that's the pain we hardly ever get to talk about, you know, how fathers may go to bed, perhaps even crying, not knowing, wondering how their own children are doing. So there is that grief. There's the psychological impact that is that doesn't find space oftentimes. So how do our listeners who need support, Lee, get a hold of you?
So you can contact me on my phone number.
Or website is best.
Website, www.dadsindeed.com or on my Facebook page or Instagram.
Okay. And let's see if, you know, as a finding similar voices, people who have a similar experience, whether that can help in this journey. No child should be without, should be disallowed, in fact, from developing a relationship with the parent. It's unjust. It's wrong. Absolutely wrong, especially if we can do something about it.